Blog Talk Radio.
It's Green Talk Live and more.
On It's Real Radio Talk with the Chef.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera. Welcome.
Hey, tonight, we're going to be talking about bees, the extinction.
And the importance.
And the importance
of their
bees,
existence.
Of their, yeah, this is true. Bees are important more so than a lot than we really think. Bees actually pollinate about 92 different varieties of fruits, vegetables, and nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a little bit more, but for the record, it's 92. The thing is that bees are unique in the sense that not only do they pollinate, they cross-pollinate and allow other plants that would not be able to bear fruits and stuff like that. They actually allow these bees, when they go from one, like a cucumber, they'll take a little bit of the pollen from the cucumber and go to a tomato. So
yep.
Bees, it's vital. Mason bees and other, if you put it this way, if you were to eradicate the bees, shout out to Sneak Creek, you'd eradicate monarch butterflies, you'd kill a whole chain, a whole ecosystem to a large degree. But everybody is wondering, what's going on? Why are the bees disappearing? What's going on with the bees? There's a lot of speculations. A lot of money has been poured into this discussion that we are talking about this evening. A lot of money has been poured into it. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, certain things are just a no-brainer. It really truly is. If you are spraying, I'm just saying, if you're spraying a pesticide known as BT, which this pesticide is being sprayed on fruits and vegetables, and it is sprayed for the sole purpose. This pesticide is used so that if an insect bites the plant while it has BT on it, its stomach, its stomach gets eaten because it ate the BT that was on the crop that was sprayed. So now I ask you, if this insect is getting his stomach eaten from the inside out because he's eating this pesticide known as BT, what more, and this is sprayed on corn, by the way. Monsanto sprays this on corn. More is going to happen to us when we ingest it and goes through the digestive tract in the system and all that. What happens? But we're made to believe that, you know, well, listen, it's all right. By the time it gets to market, it's, you know, there's no trace elements of BT or anything like that on it. Really don't believe it.
Right.
It's a no-brainer. If you all are using, if there are no minerals in the ground,
right,
that is the reason and the purpose that you're using fertilizers. Because there are no trace minerals and elements for the soil to be able to sustain itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the reason why you're using fertilizers. That's the reason why we use fertilizers. The thing is that these fertilizers are poisonous. And every country in the world, except the United States, is understand the magnitude. In even Europe has banned a lot of chemicals.
Most of them.
That have, you know.
If not all by
yeah,
now.
They've banned a lot of chemicals that were just, you know.
Catastrophic to the crops.
Impact, not just to the crops, but to human to human beings.
Yes.
So they stopped using it, but these same pesticides and chemicals that they stopped using, the United States is full blast using these same chemicals that they all stopped using. So, I mean, you really have to sit down and, you know, and think about it. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be able to want to grow crops, but if you're growing crops and the crops are killing people,
mm-hmm.
it serves no purpose, and it's just ridiculous. It really truly is. But I guess to understand capitalism, you really would have to be ridiculous to really understand it to a large degree. But it's not good business, unless it's business that's just made for certain people. But
mm-hmm.
However, whatever. This is something that is really, again, it is important, because if bees are not here, there would be fruits and vegetables that would never be able to pollinate or to come to fruition. It would be what we would call an agricultural apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it would be.
It's all to make the farmers have less control over crops, and for companies like Monsanto's and other companies that are infiltrating the agricultural world the way they are, ferociously as the way they are, to grasp and to control the food that's being grown, especially in the United States, primarily in the United States, for human consumption. So they have to, you know, in their mind, they have to find different mediums to decimate the bee population to the point where, you know, even urban farmers like ourselves won't be able to produce, let alone for the, you know, bigger farms upstate or in rural areas throughout the United States.
That's true. I think, again, with the collapse, everybody's wondering what's going on. So, again, it's just simple. I mean, if these pesticides are being used and the bees are sprayed with the pesticide, it's just only right that they would bring the pesticides back to the hive, the colony.
Mm-hmm.
Once they bring it back to the colony, then they feed it to the rest of the colony. And the colony, bees are very
particular.
Yeah, and they're very sensitive.
Yeah.
As far as directions and stuff like that, they have a way of communicating.
And they travel in a school-like form.
They have a way of communicating where they communicate with the rest of the bees on, in a sense like, this is the route you would take if you go in there, if you're going to get some more pollen, this is the route to take. And they do a little dance, so to speak, in a way that they're communicating with the rest of the bees to make the bees understand that this is the route to go. But now if you're pesticide and fungicide up and you're passing it the pollen with this pesticide
mm-hmm.
all inside of it, and the bees are, you know, eating this, taking this pollen and making nectar out of it that has the pesticide in it, it's just like a time capsule for destruction. And this is what we're getting, but it's killing the bees. I mean, there's a lot of, in order for honey, here's another thing. Here's a bit of trivia. Honey, in order for honey to be honey, it has to have pollen in it. If honey doesn't have pollen in it, it's not honey. So, but, you know, through a little bit of, you know, research and stuff like that, you know, you can always make your own conclusion. But the facts, there's a lot of facts, there's a lot of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that we need to, and you need to, get on some of this information so that you can, the more information you have, the better your battle is in general. There's, you know, there's whole colonies of bees that are dying all over the world, and it's going to have disastrous consequences on the biodiversity and the agriculture. So, you know, without honeybees, 80% of the plants will disappear. 80% of plants will disappear. So, I mean, that's scary. That's a significant number of plant life that is pollinated by honeybees to a large degree. And remember, honeybees are one of the only bees that actually do, well, I'm not going to say like cross-pollination. All bees to a degree, certain bees have a certain particular type of plant nectar that they really like. But honeybees are a little bit different. I guess that's why they're honeybees. But like I said, 80% would disappear. So that's a significant amount of fruits. Remember now, fruits, vegetables, right, and nuts. So, I mean, these pollinate, like I said, 92. It's 92, but again, I think it's a little bit more than that, though. But also, without significant plant species, butterflies will be extinct.
Especially the monarch butterfly, which is the most important out of all the butterflies.
Besides MK Ultra, but yeah, that's another topic. But yeah, the fruits and vegetables will diminish in a disaster. That's a disaster for nature, but also for us as people. It's a total, I mean, again, you already know what it is. So, you have, like I said, this is something that you really have to stop
and pay attention to.
Because unless you can, you know, hand pollination too, just real quick, hand pollination too.
Let them know what that's about.
Sometimes with hand pollination, you have to take a little bit of pollen from another plant and pollinate it with another plant. So it's not just you hand pollinating and taking this. You know, it's, like I said, it's something that needs to be taught and needs to be learned without question. But the human health prognosis on this long term, on the long term effect of this, you know, we're worried if the biodiversity shrinks. So I mean, you know, since the early 90s, there's a new kind of pesticide that entered the European market,
right?
And these groups of pesticides were called neon iconoids. And listen, anything that has more than seven letters is really scary. So, but this particular poison, it damages the nervous system of the honeybees.
Right.
And the results are that the bees are unable to communicate accurately. So communication between the honeybees is essential for food sources in dangerous spots, so mm-hmm. that they can, you know, tell, you know, like I was saying earlier about their form of communication and how they essentially tell you where food is, that scout is saying where the food is and where danger is. If danger is where not to go. So, but the infected honeybee, he flies back and he contaminates the whole colony, and he weakens the colony and dies as a result of the pesticide.
As well as the others, and they pass it along.
So, sometimes now check this out. There is something that is done on a massive scale in the industry. I don't know if it's, I can't say smaller. I wouldn't think smaller farmers would do it, but, you know, some of the bigger, like, agro firms, what they do is they...
Or the agroforest.
Right. They remove the bees' reserve food supply, which is honey, and they replace it with high fructose corn syrup
wow.
during massive pollination. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, like I was saying to you before, when a soldier or a scout brings something back, everyone's going to catch it to a degree because queens are monobred, and all this means is that every single bee in the hive is susceptible to the same virus and diseases. So
yeah.
if one, just like I was saying earlier, if one passes it and is contaminated and comes back to the hive, this is going to affect the whole hive, the whole colony. So it's a no-brainer. It's not Sherlock Holmes. It really is the things that we're using, but, you know, it's the spin doctors, and we sit back and we watch this shit, man. We just sit back and, you know, I guess we feel like there's nothing that we can do, and, you know, but this is something that's serious. And then what do you do? Do we just sit back? Do we just take it? Or do we, you know, do we stand up and we hold these people accountable? I've heard that before as long as I've been living. As long as I've been a child, I've heard people regurgitate that thing, saying that, you know. And the thing is that I'm tired of hearing it and seeing that there's no progress, there's nothing being done, and everybody, I guess, you know, like I said, everybody's caught up and trapped in their own little bubble. And, you know, this is what society has caused us. But, you know, I'll say it to you like this. If you really believe that you are paying a lot of money for your fruits and vegetables now, if the bees go extinct,
the produce market is going to go through the roof. Small farmers will be no more, and agri-corps and corporations will take over the whole farm market in the country, which is one of their main agendas anyway.
But I believe, I really truly believe that as far as gardening and urban farming is concerned, that will not be stopped. I really truly believe that it will not be stopped. There's been a tax on it, without question, unequivocally. There's been a tax on it. The process, the different orgs, the different organizations that so-called manage these and do these green things and all of that. There's controversy, but I say this though, the majority of the organizations that deal with it, that deal with these green things and all of that, they're not really green, and they're not for green, but
they are front for corporations.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, what do you do? And the thing is that you do the right thing. Change your train of thinking, your thought process,
and do research.
Do research. If you can't do research, at least know that if you grow, it's more power. If we all grow together, now one person's growing, it can't be accomplished. The thing is that we need to all grow together, and again, we need the bees to do this. So, you know, it's not a no-brainer. Everybody wants to sit down and throw money at a situation that really takes no money. And even with scientists, you know, but even with scientists, they're saying that this is what it is. But it's a no-brainer. You really have to, you know, sit down and you really think about it. And there's no other, you know, no boogeyman monster that that's, you know, why the bees are disappearing, though.
The whole reform for the bees to be completely extinct is a very strategic agenda on every different level that you can think of, whether it's economics, whether it's lobbying, whether it's just downright dealing with the farmers and, you know, having more of a stronghold over private farms. It's very strategic the way it's like a domino effect, and you have to be very careful. But fortunately enough, I'll give you one example. In New York City, there was a law passed for bees to be kept in the cities, like in urban farms or community gardens. which is a win-win situation because A, the gardens need the bees to pollinate, and B, we need more honey and more of the population of the bees to increase as opposed to counteract the extinction of the bees. And the bee agenda to not have the bees extinct, it's a growing concern and it's a growing discussion legally and personally. So this is something that, thank goodness, that is in effect, that will also be affecting different states and different jurisdictions throughout the country to bring back the population of the bees in different ways, such as having beekeeping more in an urban setting as opposed to it to be more rural setting, to have more freedom to not only have the bee populations re-increase, but to use the honey for various different things, especially for health reasons.
It reeks of conspiracy. It really truly does. It really truly does. And, you know, like I said to you before, we're behind closed doors. So that's the conversation that we're going to always keep. If I was someone that wanted to nip it in the bud and be able to, if I'm developing fruits and vegetables that do not need bees to pollinate them, you know, my biggest contender would be the bees. That means I'm losing money because of the bees, because now I can't put my product out like I want to put my product out. So, you know, my whole thing is to maybe get rid of the bees, and by getting rid of the bees, then you're going to have no choice but to deal with my wholesome goodness or my wholesome evilness, you know? I mean, it's something that needs to be addressed, and the thing is that a lot of us, you know, we just don't want to talk about it, and we don't want to say things, and, you know, but the thing is that if it's affecting me and my family, it's definitely affecting you and your family, and I'm no better than you, and, you know, it's something that we have to, you know, we have to train our thought process to deal with.
Right.
Again, I was talking to you about a couple of, like two shows ago, I was talking to you about Subways and telling you what they were putting in the bread. And it's actually a plastic that they put in their bread to make it softer. So my thing is that that behooves me to tell you about that. There's a lot of people that know about it, but the thing is that what are we doing? Are we boycotting these people? Are we not buying our food? We have to change our ways with everything that we deal with.
Right.
So, you know, planting beneficiary flowers, it's like a patch.
Right.
It really truly is. You can do that. It's a good thing to do that. And, you know, especially in the urban setting is where a lot of the food is going to come from and materialize, because in the urban setting there's gardens that use chemicals, pesticides and stuff like that.
But we don't.
But there's over 600 shout out to the Green Thumb. Nancy Cone, she is actually
the new director
of Green Thumb. Big up the parks, definitely. There's some gardens that use them. There's a lot of gardens that don't. And in New York City, there are urban farms and community gardens, and there's over 600. And Green Thumb works to
not only preserve the land usage rights for the community gardeners, but also give technical assistance to gardens. And now the new trend is urban farms, because right now there's a dire need because of the extinction of certain fruits and vegetables, and what's going on with the trends with the bees and the monarch butterfly and other different ecological animals that help with the proliferation and the productivity of creating produce.
With biodiversity. So.
Right. What's going on is there's a dire need to have more urban farms and more local food systems in different parts of the United States, especially to help proliferate the continuity of organic food production.
Just to let you know, Culinary Kids is, we are a micro food system.
Local
micro food system.
Right.
In the big cogs of this whole thing, but just like with Culinary Kids, there are other
various groups
and organizations and community gardeners and farmers that have been doing this long before we came on the scene.
Right.
And the thing is that everyone is talking. One, you know, the hot topic is the bees. The bees have been a hot topic for a minute. But it seems like because all of the farms have been using chemicals, not all of them, but the vast majority of farms have been using chemicals, the thing is that our food is going to be grown either two ways in the future. Urban farming and urban gardening.
And aquaculture.
That covers the spectrum with the aquaculture. When I say urban farming,
yeah.
Well, it's utilizing all of these different methods to be able to do it. But those two things plus, or, you know, the agro firms, the companies, the big major companies that are going to be growing fruits and vegetables.
Primarily F1s and GMOs.
Right, that don't need certain things or, you know, can grow in like 7 days or I'm just saying, you know, I'm being really funny, but in the sense that, well, we really do not truly know, what things are out there and what technologies are out there to actually be able to generate. I mean, because there's certain fruits and vegetables that don't need pollination. So if these things are being, there's a reason that they're being brought to the surface and all of these things. It's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime, like I was saying before, anytime that you can grow, that I don't know why you want to do it, but anytime that you can grow pears, oranges, and
tomatoes
on the same plant. Well, with lemons too, sometimes they graft them like that too, and they don't need pollination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really have to wonder. And the thing is that it is.
Unbelievable.
All of these things are happening, it's because the soil has been depleted of its nutrients and its minerals. That's the reason why I said earlier that chemicals or fertilizers are used. But see, the thing is that they don't return all of the minerals and nutrients that the crops need, for their own natural defenses against pests and other, pesticides and parasites and herbicides.
Uh-huh.
And similar chemicals are used. And this is the problem. This is the problem. And, we're not going to be able to, we're not really going to be able to understand let me just give you a rundown of just some of the fruits
that are being affected.
That are being affected.
Heavily affected.
And if the bees, mind you, if the bees are extinct, these are going to, the fruits and vegetables that I'm about to mention are going to be extinct. We won't have them.
Okay.
Or the agro companies that have them, but they'll just be, hybrids and F1s.
GMOs.
So, apples, mangoes, kiwi fruit, plums, peaches, nectarines, guava, rose hips, pomegranates, pears, black and red carrots, alfalfa, okra, strawberries, onions,
apricots.
Yeah, apricots, cashews, prickly pears, allspice,
the herb
itself, avocados, passion fruit, lima beans, kidney beans, green beans, custard apples, raw apples, cherries, celery, coffee, walnut, cotton, flax, it's sunflower oil,
mm-hmm.
you know, lemons, buckwheat, sweet figs, fennel, lime, carrots, cucumbers, hazelnut, cantaloupe, I mean, chestnuts, watermelon, coconut, cabbage, Brussels. Listen, that is...
It just goes on and on.
And these are the vast majority of everything that I just said to you is a main staple in not just American diet, but in everybody's diet to a large degree. Because there's different tomatoes in different countries. There's different potatoes in different countries. So, I mean, you know, and there are hybrids, and there's different, like I said, it affects us all. It's
the ecological system,
yeah.
Productivity, human consumption, local food systems, farms, urban farms, everyone gets affected by that across the country. And like I said last week, it's like, you know, America's a dumping ground. It's like a huge guinea pig that gets picked and prodded to do, you know, just to be played with and just to be messed with. But a lot of people, you know, across the country, as far as activism is concerned, is putting their foot down, and they don't want those kinds of methods on their food, and they want to keep continuing to proliferate the conduciveness of an environmental change, especially when it comes to agriculture. So it's a huge raging debate, and it's not going to stop. And, you know, roughly to date, fortunately, 80% of the American populace eats organic produce. So it's a huge concern. People want to live better. People want to live longer or try to live longer and, you know, eat more at home as opposed to restaurants. It's, you know, home cooking is becoming more of an event than just a regular thing to do because you have to eat to live. But people are taking it a lot more seriously and appreciating eating home because of these certain instances that are going on in this country.
Yeah, but... Yeah, the bees, they pollinate like hundreds of different crops in the United States, you know. So if the bees disappear, nobody's going to be quite sure of how they, you know, how we'll be able to continue to grow.
Right.
These many different crops. So this emerging crisis, it doesn't get a lot of attention from the mainstream media. But, you know, if we continue to lose 30% of the bees every year, it's going to have a catastrophic effect on our food supply. So, I mean, it's not like I said, you know, people don't make moves until things happen. A lot of people just do not make moves until it's like at the last minute, you know. But there are a lot of people that try to work behind the scenes, that try to make these things happen and bring it to the attention and to the forefront. But if you have a controlled media that is not going, you know, that's not good ratings, you know, they're not going to play stuff like that. But these things are important. We need to fashion a system that we can really respond to one another over the great divide and communicate with each other in real time to really hammer out these problems, because it seems like, well, it is for years that the politicians and everyone, they do not want to do their jobs. And the thing is that we have to come together and we have to, you know, be assertive. And, you know, all of these different organizations, everyone has their own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly the agenda is to really help, but, you know,
A lot of times their hands are tied.
Their hands are tied because they're
lobbying.
Yeah, you know, they're getting paid. So,
yep.
You know, nobody wants to rock the boat. But
nope.
I guess everybody starts off with as an idealist, and get sucked up into this void, which is called corruption.
Or some politicians, they just rather the plateau that they're on politically and just stay at that plateau because there's different expectations the higher that you go politically. So because of that, a lot of people that are in that world, they just stay where they are because it's just too much sometimes.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that these people are supposedly accountable to us. They're supposed to be accountable to us, but the problem lies that they are accountable to the corporation of the United States.
More so than anybody else.
So this is the thing that we have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that we have to understand that it has been them and us for a long time. So now us have to understand how it is so that us can come together to show them how it's supposed to be done. Because that's the whole thing, the lack of communication, the separation.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had something in a way that we could communicate in real time, like I said before, of things that are really true. Everybody has something, an issue that's important. But the thing is to have a system of tier,
mm-hmm.
you know, levels and tiers of what's, you know, more important and what's, you know, what's the agenda for the whole thing. But again, the thing is, it's corruption. That's why.
Very multifaceted corruption.
Yeah, and this is why we can't get nothing done, and this is why the bees are dying, and this is why you're throwing millions of dollars into a think tank so that some cats can sit down and figure out why the bees are dying. This shit,
it's just more common sense than anything.
You know, people are tired, and the thing is that the same old games can't be played. People are aware. People are, you know, there's a lot of people that are, there was a wise cat said to me, he said, there's certain people that make things seem complicated, but now we're smart like elves. I said that to say this. In order for you to be able to see a situation, you don't have to be smart about that. You don't have to be smart about that. But you have to be smart in the way that you talk about what you're talking about. And you have to be truthful. The thing is that a lot of times we're not truthful about why, why this is happening or why this is happening and why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But then behind closed doors, we'll go sit down and be like, well, this is why it's happening. The thing is that there's other people that really understand that this is why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about the color of a person's skin or any of that no more. It's just about information that is
supposed to be divulged to the public.
Exactly. And the thing is that there are people that are, you know, educated enough to be able to say, well, you know what? And it's not even about going to school or any of that. It's just about some things you get started with something because of a passion, a spark.
Mm-hmm.
I say a passion because it was a spark. It's euphemisms and semantics.
Right.
It's a spark that sparks you to do this. It's something, I don't care what it was, something gave you the drive to do it,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to want to do it. And again, if we do not understand that, we're destined for failure. We're totally destined for failure. So, but back to the bees. But this all coincides. If you really understand,
it's a huge cycle.
If the circle and the cycle that it touches is on different levels, because in order for us to be able to sit here and to talk to you about green and to do these things or mm-hmm. whatever, politics plays a lot into it. So then on political levels, whatever we're doing that is harmful to the earth, we all should be, even if you're getting some You know, even if you're getting some crazy information, you're supposed to ask questions. You're supposed to want to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if you're not here, you know, it's just like the bees. You're not going to be here. You're going to be extinct. But just in the United Kingdom and Canada,
mm-hmm.
This past winter, one of the worst records for bees in the U.S. too. Some beekeepers lost about 31% of their colonies compared to the loss of 21% the previous winter.
Wow.
Canada, the Canadian Honey Council report an annual loss of 35% of the honeybee colonies in the last 3 years in Britain. And the Bee Farmers Association says that members lost roughly half of their colonies over the winter. So,
wow.
I mean, this is something that is...
It's transcending.
Yeah, and
throughout the world.
It's a phenomenon, but it's something that is understandable. It is because of the pesticides. It's nothing else. It can be...
That's the number one
chalked thing. Up to anything else. It can't be chalked up to anything else. This is what it is. It's the pesticides, and, you know, scientists understand what it really is, but, you know, there's a lot of scientists, for the press, though, that, you know, they're saying that the scientists are scrambling to figure out, you know, what the cause of this is. And, you know, one study was recently conducted by researchers at the University of Maryland in the United States Department of Agriculture that might have some answers. This study was published July 24th. On an online journal, PLOS One, and the first analyzation of real-time conditions encountered by the honeybees as their hives pollinate a wide range of crops from apples to watermelons. The researchers, they collected pollen from honeybees, honeybee hives in the fields from Delaware to Maine, right? And they analyzed the samples to find out, you know, which flower plants were the bees' main pollen sources. And what the agricultural chemists, what they found out, there were commingled with the pollen that the pesticides and the latent pollen samples of the bees had, like, pesticides and all types of chemicals on it, though, right? So the sample, it was like samples of healthy bees, which were, you know, tested, and they used this, the latent pollen, and they laced the healthy bees with the pollen. And the test was to see if their ability to resist infection. There is a pesticide, right, that's called – actually, it's a parasite. It's Neosina ceramic. And this is a parasite of adult, like, honeybees.
Right.
And this parasite has been linked to the phenomenon of disorder. The colonies collapsed. So the average pollen sample that they received from the laden pollen samples, it contained 9 different agricultural chemicals, including fungicides, insecticides, herbicides, and miticides. The levels of the multiple agricultural chemicals were present in every single sample. With one of the samples, it contained 21 different pesticides. 21 different pesticides. And these were the pesticides that were found most frequently in bee pollen, with the fungicides. It's a fungicide called chlorothoranol, and these are used on apples and other crops. And There's other, you know, insecticides that they use too, but these are used in a sense for beekeepers to control Verona mites. This is a common honeybee pest. So, I mean, these are chemicals that they are using to control mites. They develop these pesticides, but in the reverse, they're actually killing the bees. So, I mean, the particular parasite that I mentioned before, Nosema cerama, you know, it's extremely destructive to honeybees. And you know, a lot of these studies have found that some of the parasites and fungicides make it more likely that the bees will come infected by the parasites. So like I was saying, it's, you know, what's the purpose? If you hadn't made the pesticide to help with the plants, we wouldn't have the problems with the bees that we're having. And my whole thing, too, is, of course, you're using the pesticides to kill off the bugs, but now what are the pesticides doing to us internally, though? All of these chemicals.
It's like a domino effect.
And, you know, you really have to sit down, you have to think. I'm hoping that you're going to sit down and look at your fruits and vegetables in a totally different manner to a large degree. You know, I mean, you know, it's sad when we come to the point where we just don't care anymore. But there are people that really care, because there's people that care about not only their family and their family's health, but themselves and their health, though.
Right.
But you know, when I was talking to you about the pollen before, but the researchers had collected pollen from the hives on the East Coast. These bees were, in particular, they were pollinating cranberry, watermelon, and other crops.
Right.
And, you know, these were fed to healthy bees. Those particular bees showed a significant decline in their ability to resist infection by this parasite. So this parasite has been implicated in the colony collapse disorder. You know, even though scientists, I really want to say bullshit, but you know, they take pain point out of their, you know, their findings to do more direct links,
mm-hmm,
to pesticides to the CDC. The pollen was contaminated on average with 9 different pesticides and fungicides, though scientists discovered 21 agricultural chemicals in one sample, like I told you before. Scientists also identified 8 ag chemicals associated with the increased risk of infection by the parasite. So, I mean, you know, but the most disturbing part was that the bees ate pollen contaminated with fungicides that were 3 times as likely to be infected. They were 3 times likely to be infected by the parasites. Widely using this fungicide has been thought, you know, to be harmless for bees. This is what they thought, but no one did any testing. And the thing is that this is exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
Why are you putting shit and spraying shit on things and you haven't tested it at all? You know, it's about money. I mean, the more the nutty professor makes of this chemical, the more money he can make for his pocket. But there was no test. There was no real world, no lab testing, no nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, this is what's given to us, and this is what we're going to deal with? I guess so. I refuse to deal with it. So I chose to do something to make it so that I don't have to eat the fruits and vegetables.
Be susceptible to all of that.
To all of that.
That food chaos, I call.
Yeah. the food Nazis with the food chaos. Oh, listen, in the green, you're hearing it right now, on It's Real Talk Radio with the chefs. Nazis come in all shapes, forms, and fashions. You got food Nazis, you got garden Nazis. They're just all over the place. The definition of these cats are people that, like Cat Williams said, people that used to like good stuff. They used to like good stuff. They don't like
wanted good stuff.
They wanted good stuff, you know, but now they just don't want nothing. They don't want
very
nothing at all.
People.
They're bitter.
Yep.
Hateful.
Yep.
Omnipotent. Unbelievable. So, you know, with that.
We've had our share.
Yeah. We have? Really? Really? Oh,
here and there.
By far? Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. But it's, you know, it's becoming growing evidence that fungicides may be affecting the bees, you know, but you can think, right? I'm more concerned about the pesticides and the fungicides that caused the colony collapse, and I really, you know, here in the United States, we do things a little bit different, as you know, but
totally different.
You know, the European Food Safety Authority, they do things because they are forced by the people to a large degree, and a lot of, I don't know, I think also that a lot of people in power too overstand the use and abuse of these chemicals, and they say, well, I want to live. I'm not going to use this. This
right.
can kill. It's not acceptable. You know, but like I said, they labeled one pesticide, thinidine, as completely unacceptable for use, and they banned it from use entirely. Meanwhile, the U.S. uses this same pesticide on more than a third of all of the crops. That's nearly like 143 million acres.
Wow. Now, could you imagine?
Yeah, two more pesticides are linked to bees' death, and they have like 27 letters. So I'm not going to even sit here and act like I know exactly what the, you know, it was 27 letters in the research. Like I said, anything that has anything over 6 or 7, you just know it's not good, you know. But these are used extensively in the U.S., while elsewhere they've been out of circulation and banned. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other people that are entirely convinced that pesticides and fungicides are the primary cause of the mass bee deaths and extinction that we're seeing. In some cases, tens of millions of bees are dying all at once. There was something that happened in the United States in Elmwood in Canada. And it's happened in the United States and Canada, and you know, it was discovered that over 30 million bees died. Massive bees were in Elma, and approximately 50,000 bees were found dead in an Oregon parking lot.
Wow.
So, you know, no matter what the true cause of, you know, what we're finding out, there's no quick solution, because we're starting to really run out of honeybees, and we're rapidly facing a nightmarish, you know, agricultural apocalypse. Real talk. So
it's a complete food nightmare.
Yeah, and there is nothing that is there anything that you want to do? I mean, you're not going to really think about it until your child can't eat strawberries
Or you can't eat strawberries, or blueberries, yeah, or apples, things that you're accustomed to eating, aside from the savory foods that we're all accustomed to eating. So with that being said, there are two documentaries that I wanted to recommend on this topic to give you a good synopsis of the extinction of bees. The first one is The Vanishing of the Bees, which is a documentary detailing the economic, political, and ecological consequence of a puzzling phenomenon, which is the dwindling world honeybee population. It's an incredible piece, and I watched it, and I was amazed, and that was one of the reasons what prompted us to do this show was that particular documentary.
And, also, I'm sorry, Chef. Big ups to Michael Schneider. I want to throw that out there for his information that, you know, he's trying to get out to the public to make people understand and all of that.
And the second documentary that I would suggest to everyone is More Than Honey, which is hailed as a definitive work on this particular subject, which is a comprehensive documentary examining the disappearance of honeybee populations worldwide.
Mm.
So both of those I would highly recommend on any, you know, internet streamline company that you would use, or you could get the disc or even rent the disc at your convenience and sit down and watch this stuff. This stuff is not boring. It's becoming a very important topic, and I'm at a loss for words because it's really affecting agriculture all over the world, primarily in the United States, but it's like a domino, it's like a trickling effect that's affecting everyone.
Yeah, so with that being said, we're going to take a little break in a few minutes, but before we get ready to take the break, I would really like to say that, again, you know, we're going to take the break, though, but it's Green Talk Live and More.
On It's Real Talk Radio with the Chefs.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera.
We'll be back.
It's just me against the world.
Stack up, my nuts are stacked up. About the actor, go to the Mac up. Now watch me clack up, try me. survive with a hell, but oh well. The question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this depression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence of power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming the riches, in a position of making a difference. Politicians and hypocrites, they don't wanna listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world. No matter how hard it gets, stick your chest out, keep your head up, and handle it.
Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest. Until I got that dug like tatted on my chest. Tell me, can you feel me? I'm not living in the past, you wanna last. Be the first to blast, remember Cato. No longer with the seat, deceased, call on the sirens. Seen him murdered in the streets, now rest in peace. Is there heaven for a G? Remember me. So many homies in the cemetery, shed so many tears.
I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
Lord,
I lost so many tears and shed so many tears.
Now that I'm struggling in this business by any means, label me greedy, getting green, but seldom seen. And fuck the world cause I'm cursed. I'm having visions of leaving here in the hearse. God, can you feel me? Take me away from all the pressure and all the pain. Show me some happiness again. I'm going blind, I spend my time in the cell. Ain't living well, I know my destiny is hell. But did I fail? My life is in denial, and when I die, baptized in eternal fire, shed so many tears.
Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
Lord,
I lost so many tears and shed so many tears.
Now I'm lost and I'm weary, so many tears. I'm suicidal, so don't stand near me. My every move is a calculated step to bring me closer to embracing early death. Now there's nothing left. There was no mercy on the streets, I couldn't rest. I'm barely standing, about to go to peace and screaming peace. And though my soul was deleted, I couldn't see it. I had my mind full of demons trying to break free. They planted seeds and they hatched, sparking the flame inside my brain like a match. Such a dirty game, no memories, just the misery. Painting a picture of my enemies killing me in my sleep. Will I survive till the morning to see the sun? Please Lord forgive me for my sins, cause here I come.
Lord, I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
God,
I lost so many tears.
And Lord knows I tried. Been a witness to homicide. Drive by taking lives, little kids die. Wonder why as I walk by, broken hearted as I glance at the chalk line, getting high. This ain't the life for me. I wanna change, but ain't no future right for me. I'm stuck in the game, I'm trapped inside a maze. See this Tangeray influence me to getting crazy, disillusioned lately. I've been really wanting babies, so I can see a part of me that wasn't always shady. Don't trust my lady, cause she's a product of this poison. I'm hearing noises, think she's fucking on my boys. Can't take no more, I'm falling to the floor, begging for the Lord to let me into heaven's door. Shed so many tears, Lord, I've lost so many years and shed so many tears.
Here.
you all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate
it. Don't you know we love you?
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was giving. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
and dear mama,
please, no one above you.
I appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you.
Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama.
Hey guys, it's Green Talk Live and More, and we're back with the chef.
Of course, I'm Chef Moses.
And Chef Rivera.
We left you.
Getting back to the bees.
We left you with the bees, and we're going to come back to the bees. You know, again, I think one of the most important things to understand is two things. If all of the bees die off, right, first, you know, crops will become extremely expensive, and then they'll start to disappear off the store shelves.
Yep.
So that, think about what I just said.
Long-term effects from that.
Right, but think about what I just said. If the bees become extinct, certain crops are not going to, they're not going to be able to produce crops on the level that they need to produce crops so that everyone can eat.
Right.
So what's going to happen is crops are going to get made, but I guess they're going to go to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. And biodiversity is out the window. So, you know, and fairness and all that stuff is out the window. And, you know, just by saying that alone, that the whiplash effect, the back behind part of it, is that they will not be sold in grocery stores. So they're not being, if they're taking off the shelf, right, if they're taking off the shelf, oh, you best believe they're being grown, but it's just that you cannot afford
or have access
to it. So, again, that's why we stress. See this green, we're going from bees to this, to that, to farming. It all coincides.
Together.
It all coincides with one another. This is the circle, the symbiotic relationship that we are supposed to have, but we don't. We do not have
and
that.
It's being heavily tampered with.
It's being manipulated. It's being all for not even science. You know, what's so funny is when you read about scientists, you know, their whole thing was that they, the kings and all of them paid them. And some of them didn't get paid from the kings. And some of them, you know, were freelancers and they did their thing. But they never harmed the environment. Their intentions was not to harm the environment. But if you have people that are scientists that are developing things that they hold a patent to that is destructive, that was made to be destructive, these are the people that need to be held accountable.
Sure.
These are the people that need to be held accountable. And then not only those people that allowed their patent or whatever it was to be unleashed on the public. So, you know, in real life, that's not going to happen. But, you know, like I said, with change and with changing a person's thought process and, you know, people galvanizing and coming together, then that's a force that has to be reckoned with.
Yep.
Not all of these other organizations. And I'm going to say this to you. We are a dirt root organization. We really truly are. Grassroots is used so loosely. There's organizations, like we said earlier, that are put into play by corporate America and all of these people to be able to say that we're doing something and we're doing something good.
Mm-hmm.
But the realization and the reality is that there are political powers that control and run certain organizations and tell them what to do, or if you don't do what we say, you're not gonna get no change, and there's little cliques and enclaves and enclaves, you know, little cabals of everybody just doing their, you know, their damnedest to be wicked, to do things that they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
In general. So now, when I said that to say that we always will remain dirt roots. Because with being dirt roots in the ground, you don't get, there's no being jaded with anything. There's no other organization you know, trying to ride your back, or another organization that just wants to, you know, these billion-dollar CBOs, or some of them are not billion-dollar CBOs. They're just a couple of thousand-dollar CBOs. But the thing is that all of these people, all they want to do is to conform so that they do not rock the boat.
And get funding without working too hard for it.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I'm like the circus guy that's on the motorbike in the cage going around. I want to rock it in a way where I'm rocking it and it just keeps rolling over, because that's what needs to happen. Somebody has to wake up. Somebody has to see. We all see that certain things are not, you know, right and conducive, but, you know, sitting on your ass, you're not gonna get nowhere. You can sit there and point the finger,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of us do. We sit down and we point fingers, and we're not even educated enough to be able to talk on certain topics about certain things, but it doesn't make a difference, though. Just to be able to read something, to know something about anything, that's what we have to do. We have to change that, you know, sitting down and, you know, thinking like, you know, things are going to fall in your lap or drop in your lap. It doesn't work like that. In order for anything to happen, in order for change to happen, there has to be some type of a counter force. You have to do something totally different than what the hell you was doing before.
Exactly.
You have to, because if you don't, you're going to hit your head up against a brick wall, or if you're effective to a degree, somebody's going to come out of the shadows and say, well, hey, I'm going to give you some money, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and you're going to be great, but the only way you're going to get that money is if you do this and you do that, and it's all against the core, the grain. So, I mean, this is why small CBOs, a lot of CBOs do not last like non-for-profit organizations. Some of them fold, a lot of them fold, or some of them don't get to the plateau or the
that they would have liked.
They would have liked, or where they should be, because they really have some good ideas. But the thing is that, believe it or not, there's nothing for, and I've seen this in so many different communities, not just the community that I live in, but it's nothing to try to get another organization to do something similar to what you're doing. And the thing is that they're a controllable entity. They're a controllable org.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're controllable, the thing is that you're going to put your manpower and resources, and the powers that be will put their manpowers and resources into these orgs.
Yep.
And the thing is that, you know, it's like that old saying, you wash my hand, I wash your hand. You know, one hand washes the other, both hands wash the face, and they both wash the whole body. So, you know, and in the body there's parts. So there's different parts, which are different orgs. So, like I said, it has to be some type of ground where enough is enough.
Right.
If somebody is going to make a stand and say, you know what, I'm tired of the bullshit and the games, and even though it seems like we're so far down the road, you know, I was just saying in one of our last shows how, you know, we're going to, maybe in the next 15, 20 years, we're going to be wearing gas masks and stuff. So, I mean, you know, we're at a point where, you know, people are tired, man. People really are tired.
People want a nice hot meal, and it's natural, and it's organic, and it's fresh, and it's not molecularly harassed. Or anything else.
Molecularly
harassed.
Raped.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's living organisms that are raping you. So, I mean, again, I would like the choice. I don't want a person to make the choice for me. You know, hey, listen, I would like some honey. And in that honey, I would like some pollen that is not tampered with, that doesn't have pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and all this other stuff that is not good
right.
for me. And then all I can get is, instead of the broad spectrum of people knowing this, someone's supposed to say, yo, you know what? this shit is killing us, I'm going to stop using it.
Exactly.
But it's the money game. But what happens when there's nobody there to eat that shit? Tell me. When nobody's there to eat it, how you going to make money? How you going to make money? If nobody is there to eat that food that you're growing, how you going to make money now? All the money that all the gluttonous, greedy, filthy money that you eat, all this money, man, all this fiat funny money, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Yo, listen, that's all I can say to you. Wake up.
Like I said, the new trend right now is micro-local food systems, and they're going to be the forefront of this whole fight, which will counteract the whole agenda with not only Monsanto's, but the major multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar AgriCorp organizations, for-profits that just want, you know, I guess to me it's like a food tyranny type of system that they want to create that's really not conducive to the life and times that we're living in right now, and people are just not going to tolerate it.
Well, listen, history has shown and proved that every single organization, they started out doing something with good intentions.
Yep.
Some of them started out with some real, you know, some real bad shit with them. They just wanted to do some wicked shit. That's just what it is. That's the reality. But a lot of people start out doing something good, and the organizations that kind of, like, how can I say it, try to corral other organizations up under its guise and its banner, the thing is that you might have started out with an agenda that was good, but the thing is that you eventually start out, you know, you start growing F1s. You know, there are organizations that grow. There are seed companies that actually, I'm going to show you how bad the semantics and euphemisms are. I'm not going to put the seed company on the spot.
Right.
But I'm going to say that there is a seed company out there that tells you in their brochure, their booklet, that they do not willingly or knowingly buy genetically modified plants.
Yep.
But every page is labeled with F1s. Every single year. And, you know, my whole thing is coded seeds and uncoded seeds. Coded seeds, they're genetically modified. So, but this is the type of double talk, and this is the type of double talk that's going on. A perfect example. I think I said this before about how organic, when you say organic, the government allows you, when we say organic, we think in no pesticides at all whatsoever. But when you say organic, the government's definition of organic could actually mean the use of pesticides, but not as much as you would normally use. So, like I said, it's words, it's semantics and euphemisms.
Yeah.
And we have to learn how to understand, and we really have to, you know, like I said,
take heed.
We have to take heed to it. If the bees die, okay, of course there's other pollinators, but see, the thing is that you're going to break the chain, the food chain, the web. By bees dying, it's going to create a whole other paradox. That's it. I mean, I'm just so, you have to understand, this is coming from a person that, you know, we farm. And my family, I come from a family of farmers. So the passion, see, it's simple to me, and it's simple to a lot of other people, and not just necessarily farmers, but it's simple to a lot of other people that are fighting this battle that we're fighting too. And they're not farmers, but they really understand and grasp the magnitude in the dimensions and dynamics of what's being said and what's going on. Now, you know, it's, like I said, with certain people, it's going to be like, you know, 3 days after there's nothing, everybody's going to be like, what? Ain't no apples, ain't no ear, there's nothing. This is what we've been talking about. Wake up. This is what we've been talking about and discussing. But, oh, man, I didn't know that. And, you know, like, oh, like, really? It's such an, you know, yeah, this is what's going on. Everybody's in their own vortex, their own bubble. We have to get out of that bubble. And, you know, we have to help and we have to exercise community more.
Yeah.
The only way, see, this new, let me tell you something. The only way the United States is going to survive, the only way that the United States is going to survive the future is if everyone comes together to be able to work together. And, you know, people have said that.
And
but,
be self-sustaining.
Yeah, and be self-sustaining. But whatever our problems are, we have to really sit down and have some conversation about it. We can't, you know.
A lot of dialogue.
Yeah, we have to. And I mean some real serious dialogue about some you know, some things that have been, you know, happening for a long time. But nobody wants to touch that. And nobody wants to talk about it. But,
be drowned in bureaucracy,
you know, yeah,
as usual.
Exactly. And, you know, everybody wants to be politically correct. And nobody wants to, listen, act like you're behind that closed door. That same stuff that you was talking behind that closed door should be able, you should be able to talk about that stuff that you was talking about behind closed doors out in the open. The only way we're going to get eradicate the situation is knowing how you feel about what you feel. You know, you can show me, I know how people feel to a large degree because they show me in their body language and they show me how when they respond and when they're talking to me, I can, you know, people pick that up. Not just me, everybody does that. But we really have to get over all of that other, all of the other shit that might be going, that's going on, and we really have to come together because we're not going to get no laws passed. We're not going to, things are not going to happen as fast as we would like it to if we're not all on the same page as shit. That's just what it is. We have to be on the same page. We have to in order for this whole thing to work. And whoever's not, the more that's on the same page, the better it's going to be. And the thing is,
and things will get a
like
lot
my
done.
Father used to say, if you build it, they shall come. That's not his original saying, but, you know, it was something he always used to say. So it's something that we have to build.
Yeah.
It has to be built. It's being built. It's being built in different things and different organizations, but, you know, these entities, there's other entities that have their hands and their lassos and their noose around these cats' necks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically puppets. My thing is that we have to get on the real, grassroots is not grassroots no more. It's dirt roots. The new 2014, dirt roots. Grassroots can be a million dollar CBO that's really just fluff. And just
yep.
Talk. Got a big boardroom, and the majority of their money is not going into the community. The majority of their money is going into their space that they rented, their furniture that they just bought, their salaries, the phone bill, electricity, all of these things, their overhead.
Mm-hmm.
That's not business. That sound like pimping to me. But now, there are organizations that are doing good.
That don't have
that
the million-dollar budgets.
That don't have the million-dollar budgets. But there are, in the same breath that I said that, I also have to concede that there are million-dollar CBOs that are doing the right thing. You know, so, but the majority, the vast majority are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, they got all of this money, and I really, a lot of it is going to lobbying. Now, you're part of the problem if you're lobbying. If you might as well be lying to me. If you're lobbying, listen, the church is even lobbying. I mean, this is where we're at. You know, some preacher was supposed to be reading, he was supposed to be reading the scripture and knowing that the church and the state are separate. But, you know, that's another topic. But I'm going to say this, though, about church and state being separate. That is the stupidest thing in the world. The reason why it's the stupidest thing in the world, because you are born with a belief. You were raised with a belief. So your belief, as you get older, when you get jobs and when you do whatever you do, your beliefs are going to carry into the decisions that you make because of your beliefs and your upbringing. So I don't want to hear the foolishness, and that's total mockery, man. You know, talking about, you know, church and state is separate, and people, oh, yeah, everybody has a belief, whether they a devil worshiper, whether they worship Beelzebub or whoever they worship, they have a belief in something. Their beliefs carry on into every aspect of their life, whether it be consciously or subconsciously. So, I mean,
and that's another reason why a lot of people believe in self-sustaining themselves, especially when it comes to this food movement and this environmental movement. A lot of people tired of the nonsense and the shenanigans going on with these agri-corps and just these environmental, you know, kind of productive corporations that really could care less about the environment and really could care about food and nutrition and people being healthy and actually, you know, breathing in clean air and the like. But nevertheless, I wanted to read an excerpt from environment.about.com on the situation with the honeybees. There's different situations going on with the honeybee declination in this country and around the world. Global warming may be partly to blame for honeybee deaths. Biologists also wonder if global warming may be exaggerating the growth rates of pathogens such as the mites, viruses, and fungi that are known to take their toll on bee colonies. The unusual hot and cold winter weather fluctuations in recent years, perfect example. Right now in New York, it's blizzard weather. Very catastrophic weather. I mean, there was no planes leaving out of New York anywhere. There was no trains leaving to go anywhere, especially on Amtrak. We was basically locked down pretty much the whole day. The only thing that was running, unfortunately, was government agencies and schools. Other than that, I mean, if you're not fortunate enough to be near a small store or a chain of stores, you know, to self-sustain yourself during these, you know, catastrophic environmental times, it's an unfortunate thing. And I, you know, after dealing with Superstorm Sandy, these are the kind of effects that happens after a superstorm, where a cold front comes in. It might not come right then and there, but in the next couple of years, there will be a massive cold front. And this was expected environmentally that, you know, we would have a really bad weather pattern, in which we are under, you know, we're succumbing to that right now, and we're expecting more snow in like the next 4 or 5 hours. So, with the cold weather, winter weather fluctuations in recent years, also blamed on global warming, of course, may also be wreaking havoc on bee populations accustomed to more consistent seasonal weather patterns. Now, scientists are still searching for cause of honeybee colony collapse disorder. So they already identified the problem as it being a colony collapse disorder. As Chef Moses said to you earlier, that the collapse disorder is coming primarily from not just the environment and global warming, but these pesticides that are really taking a toll on bee colonies. Okay, so a recent gathering of leading bee biologists yielded no consensus, but most agreed that a combination of factors is likely to blame. We're going to see a lot of money poured into this problem. And one of the nation's leading tree researchers reported that the federal government plans an allocation of $80 million to fund research in connection with CCD.
Yeah, see, listen to that. Not to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but they're going to pour $80 million into a study. So now,
to come to a synopsis,
to come to a conclusion of the whole situation. And all these studies, there's never no conclusive evidence. It could be always a combination of all of these things.
Primarily a hypothesis.
Right. But the thing is that I hypothesize someone needs to get their ass kicked. Really. Because it's just ridiculous. You know, you really don't need a PhD to know and understand that these pesticides and chemicals that we are utilizing are killing. And the bees are bringing it back. And the honey that you eat in has pesticides in it. So it's giving you cancer. And you're dying. You're giving it to, you're putting it in your cereal. All right, here's one for you. Your children are going to school and getting breakfast cereal that has honey in it. Okay, I got another one for you. The food that you're eating off the supermarket shelves, right, GMOs, it's killing you. I know somebody out there in the audience right now is saying, well, don't you go to the supermarket? Don't you eat that stuff too?
We try our best.
Listen, very, very, very lightly. Very lightly. But the thing is that, yes, I have to concede this. I do eat foods that are probably laced and tainted, but that's unknowingly. But the reality is that I don't know. I really truly don't.
But you try your
but
best.
I try my
to
best
out.
To find out. No one's perfect. The thing is to try your best to find out. And when it comes to my family, I'm going to find out. So, again, it's so important. All of these concerns deal with the thing that we're talking about is pertaining and it deals, comes right back to the bee. These bees are so important that we're talking about another subject. But it's the bees that actually, we're talking about the fruits and vegetables, but it's the bees that pollinate these things, again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really imperative and it's important that we, you know, of course, you know, people always say, well, listen, you need to write your local representative. And his job is to suppress anything that you bring to him anyway, to a large degree. if you make enough noise, you're going to have to really do something. But even with that, you know, it's all about speeches and this, that, and the other. But the thing is that the politics, it's just so much politics behind this. It's a simple answer. Stop using the chemicals. Monsanto needs to stop using these chemicals and all of the other brands that are using these particular chemicals. They need to stop using them. And my whole thing is use fertilizer. There's so much natural, you know, there's tons of organic matter that is going into our landfills at an alarming rate. This is why the sanitation department now has composting and all of these things where they do on site. So the thing is that we need to, just like we ship garbage, whether a lot of people don't notice though, but we ship garbage into other states via the highway. So, you know, my thing is that we need to start taking all of the compost and the stuff that we're putting into the landfills, and we need to start using that to put it down on the grounds in the South. And in upstate New York, to revitalize and to re-amend the soil. This is the only way we're going to do it.
Yep.
We have to start from scratch.
Yep.
Because the companies have, they fucked up. They really, truly have. They messed
there's
up
no other
so.
Way of saying
there's
it.
No other, no, it really, truly isn't. You know, you can sit here and say some real, I don't have any nice shit to say because I have to deal with this. I have to deal with this to a large degree. You have to deal with this to a large degree. You should be upset and you should be mad, just as I am, because it's a no-brainer. A chemical that I don't know about that was invented, and I really don't know its effects, but I'm going to spray it on the food that I eat. This shit doesn't make sense, man. What I'm going to do is I'm going to test it in the lab first. Then when I do test in the lab, I'm not going to just test it for a month or a year, 2 years or 3 years. I need to test this for a couple of years because it's going into my body, into my family's body.
That's
so
right.
I need to be tested.
Yep.
not just like, oh, you know what? Well, we had some trial testing, and, you know, the significance in the trial testing was very promising, very promising. What's promising about it? What about the downside to the testing? Do they ever talk about the downside that, you know, like, you know, the medication that they tell you, it's like the medication that they tell you on TV about, oh, this wonderful new pill, and, you know, all of these things, and it's beautiful, and this can be you, and all of these things. But then they say the side effects are bloating, cancer, you know, irritable bowel movements, you know, itchy booty. I mean, all of these things, man. So, again, you know, what's the – why would you want to take that? Your teeth falling out, your rotten mouth, whatever. My whole thing is, why would you want to take something like that that would – that's like death, man. The side effects.
Catastrophic side effects.
I mean, I never used to see commercials like that on TV a long time ago.
Nope.
I mean, you know, listen.
Free for all, man.
Ricky Ricardo and them were smoking cigarettes, and doctors were smoking cigarettes on TV, man. And they were saying that shit was healthy for you. So, you know, I mean, wow. You know, this is advertisement, man. Mm-hmm. These people got our minds captured and captivated. Mm-hmm. While they're doing that, there's a mass extinction of bees, and we're going
to other animals.
Yes, and insects, and we are going to be eating agro-food that can, listen, you might be able to shake something and add some water to it, and it'll become like broccoli or something. I mean, listen, or broccoli flavored. You understand?
As opposed to a real bunch of broccoli.
Right. Or if we're lucky, we might even have to use the paste that they use for astronauts.
Wow.
In a tube, flavored food. Is this our destiny? Is this how we're going to survive in the future? I know one thing, you know, I as a chef, I do a lot of vegan and cooking and all that, but I eat meat. My family eats meat. So,
a lot of our clients eat vegetarian.
Yeah, a lot of our clients, and as farmers, you know, we grow fruits and vegetables. So, you know, we don't get us wrong, we eat a lot of broad spectrum of vegetable fruits and vegetables, but I eat meat, and my family eats meat. But some people are offended by, you know, meat eaters. And, you know, I know.
That's another topic.
Yeah, that's another topic. But what I'm saying is that we have to get off our, we just really have to get off our asses with this thing, man. We really have to come collectively together, because going through the channels that we have been going through before are not effective. They're not effective at all. We cannot keep going. We have to do something different. If you keep touching the fire and you get burnt, you eventually will stop touching that fire. You're going to have a different way to approach the fire so that you won't get burnt. That's what the different way to do that is for us to come together.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be somebody that, you know, you come up with an idea, and there's always somebody that wants to spin it another way. But there can't be no spinning. There can't be multiple heads. There has to be one organization that's doing it, and then that organization trickles down.
I keep on falling in.
Yeah. Like I was saying, you know, we really have to take these things. We have to take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Again, everybody has their lives and things that they have to do. You're going to hear that a lot, because I do understand that, and that is an excuse that people use. But, you know, I don't want to use it like this, but if somebody, you know, if you could prevent somebody that you love from dying, you're going to prevent them from dying.
If you can.
If you can.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that you have to treat this situation just like that. You really have to do it. because, you know, it's unfair that you're being taken away from your family, and you could possibly live longer and healthier if you know about certain things.
Knowledge is the key to the whole thing.
Knowledge is the key, but even with that, there's always a curveball thrown into the matrix. It really, truly is. Because Dr. Giggles is at work. He really, truly is. He's just right in the lab doing some mystical, magical stuff. So, you know, but we have to understand, you know, the dynamics of what we're dealing with. Once you understand that, you'll be a whole lot better. It starts with food. You know, in order to change anything, to be able to do anything, starts with your health. It starts with food. It starts with food. It starts with, even I don't care if you're some type, you know, you've been sitting up there, you're depressed or whatever. It starts with something that triggers you to want to do something to be healthy, or maybe you just got tired of just moping around and, you know, some exercise or something. A lot of people, when they snap out of it, it's their diet. They change their diet. It's the food that you eat. By radically changing your diet can affect your mind, your body, and your spirit. It really, truly can. Don't get me wrong. There are certain medications and certain, you know, vitamins and tablets and stuff like that, supplements that you can take that'll give you energy, that'll boost you up. But in order to be able to do any of these things that you feel that you can't do, you need, oh, I'm tired. You have to change your diet.
Yep.
That's it. It's as simple as that, changing your diet.
But the thing is, you know, changing your diet, you need the fruits and vegetables to change the diet and to have your body more in sync. And how are you going to do that if, you know, with the situation with the bees, if they're not pollinating, how are the plants going to grow? How's the vegetation going to grow? It's very key that, you know, that the bees have to be replenished, and, you know, there has to be laws passed that these agricultural groups don't get their hands on those bees anymore and let them be.
Well, you know,
because
what?
That's part of our coexistence, period.
I think, well, this year we are going to have bees. We're going to get some honeybees. And the thing is to make sure, well, we have more than enough, land to actually, so that the bees are stay around as opposed to traveling a far distance. The thing is to add to our biodiversity, to keep different animals so that we can have a better, you know, better food, better access to healthier, fresher produce, not just fruits and vegetables and nuts, you know, fish, crustaceans, tilapia, shrimps, lobsters, crabs, mussels. It's very important that we introduce these new proteins, a wider variety, another source of edible proteins besides what's being grown on the leaf. But what's so sweet about it, again, is utilizing the fish in its waste as a natural fertilizer for fruits and vegetables, and also utilizing the honeybees in an enclosed environment year-round to actually grow fruits and vegetables in the summer and the winter time. That's something that is really, it needs to be done. And together in different communities, we can get together, but the thing is that we need to leave some of these big organizations alone.
And do it ourselves.
DIY,
telling you.
We do. That's where the bureaucracy and all of the parlor tricks come in. don't get me wrong, I'm going to say this to you. Green Thumb is a very good organization here in New York City.
Please
and
support your beekeeping organizations
and community partners.
Yeah. That are across the country dealing with this hot topic and is pushing the agenda to have community gardens and urban farms and even schools beekeep across the country. So it's imperative that we all have a cohesive mindset when it comes to this type of situation and to proliferate and to push, you know, these people that are in these bureaucratic seats of power to take heed and to listen and to do the right thing. Because they even, despite the fact that hands are tied, you can still do the right thing without jeopardizing yourself.
Big up to Parks Department here in New York City.
And Greentumb.
And Greentumb, without question. So,
In closing,
I would like to say be more aware, get information,
be more careful,
read some of the packaging. But, you know, I can sit here and tell you to read packaging, but, if, you know, the majority of all of the food that we're is genetically modified. So with that being said,
Buy organic.
Shop local. Deal with your community gardens.
And your community farmers markets.
Farmers markets and farmers and urban farms. Ask your representative, ask people in your community boards to set up something where you can grow fruits and vegetables. Urban populations seem like the last bastion of hope and haven for and to be able to grow fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
And raise and grow fish. With that being said,
take heed, guys.
Take heed. And again, this is Green Talk Live and more.
On It's Real Talk Radio with the Chef.
I'm Chef Moses.
And I'm Chef Rivera. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
Take it easy, guys.